둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Can you hear me okay?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with... It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already. I'll give you new episodes just like this one every single week. You can also grab us, let's see, Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Please do give the series a rating and a review wherever you're hanging around. Those always help out so much. We've had some great guests here. Hannah John Common just dropped by to talk about Thunderbolts. She stars as Ghost on the new Marvel movie. Gene Simmons of Kiss. We talked with Kevin Bacon and Jennifer Nettles about The Bondsman on Prime. Adam Duritz of The Counting Crows. David Byrne and Jerry Harrison from Talking Heads. Don Felder from The Eagles. Ian Pace from Deep Purple. Lizzie Green from Ransom Canyon on Netflix. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, John Densmore, drummer, memorist, spiritual seeker, and the one guy in The Doors who consistently asked, should we really be doing this? We're talking 60 years of The Doors, a band that somehow mixed beat poetry, Oedipal drama, and psychedelic blues into something that still gets frat boys quoting Nietzsche and middle-aged dads buying incense. John's been the guardian of the legacy, the one who said no to Cadillac, no to hologram tours, no to being a nostalgia act without a soul. And as a very longtime fan, I for one appreciate that. We're going to be discussing the band's new archival live releases, their signature improvisational style, and the post-myth era where the music now speaks louder than the legend. John's going to reflect on Jim Morrison's poetic genius, the creative interplay between band members, especially between his drumming and Ray Manzarek's left-hand bass on that on the keys, and why the group thrived even as a trio. John also is going to share his memories behind deeper cuts like Palace in the Canyon, the evolution of epics like The End, which in hindsight served as a poetic farewell. And he also lets me know about his upcoming jazz and hip-hop projects, one with Chuck D, and recent onstage reunion with guitarist Robbie Krieger at the Whiskey A Go-Go. All that and more. I love this conversation. So happy to be talking to him. We're talking 60 years of The Doors. It's Kyle Meredith with John Densmore.
Kyle?
Yeah, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Where are you?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know if wow is the proper thing. It's sort of just, okay. I think
bluegrass and whiskey and whatever.
We make over 90% of the world's disco balls.
Oh.
You know, got that going. Bats, Louisville Slugger, and the bourbon and the horses and et cetera.
Well, I'm in Santa Monica, where I was born, but I'm not a native, Kyle.
So you're born but not a native. How does that work?
No. The Chumash, the first peoples of this land, are the natives.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Ah.
Well, it's good to know that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to understand that. Yeah.
I've written articles about how, you know, we need to kind of Yeah, no, the first genocide and then the racism that's bugging us now will heal quicker.
Yeah, that's it seems to be where a lot of the disconnect is of people not even thinking through history, not learning about the history, not learning about their own history, not remembering what happened 5 years ago politically.
If you're not on the edge, you're taking too much space. Art, good art, is on the edge because from the edge, you can see the hole better. If you're in the middle of the hole, you're kind of blinded. That's why Agent Orange, Spike Lee's name for Trump, wants to cut this program, NPR, PBS, because art is visionary, pushing the envelope on the edge. And in fact, American culture is the main thing that makes America great again. And not too smart to be cutting that.
Well, no, I love that you're saying that though. I mean, obviously, yes, I live, the biggest chunk of my day in the music side of the NPR world, but it's not surprising because,
Yeah.
there. I'm trying not to sound hyperbolic, but it's true. Like the revolution usually starts with in art, right? Like that's where the challenge is going to be. And for a guy who's got such a brittle ego, that it's going to be challenged. The fact that he did go full pirates on the Kennedy Center, like, is so ridiculously horrible, but it's not surprising that he did it.
Yeah.
And it, but I think the answers are also going to start with the art community, whether that's music or whatever, or Broadway or anything. But historically, that's where it tends to get its spark, and then you just hope it catches the right kind of fire.
Well, I arrogantly thought that with the dead being getting the Kennedy honors last year, well, we're kind of a shoo-in, me and Robbie, for this year. But in the back of my head, which was kind of arrogant, but in the back of my head, I thought, oh no, wait a minute. When Trump was president before, Norman Lear, Mel Brooks, well, they all passed. And we'd have to pass. But now I don't need to worry about that at all because he's the president and he'll never elect us. He wants to bring back Fiddler on the Roof. Well, the Doors doing the end is quite different from that.
That's true.
Anyway, what's up, Kyle?
Hopefully it's all temporary. That's the point. And the Doors will get the proper flowers as you all continue to do.
Well, maybe getting the flowers inside is the real key. The accolades are great for raising helium upstairs into my skull. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, The Doors is one
Well,
of the
wait, that
greatest.
segues right into Jim. I mean, Jim, he, okay, we had our first giant concert where they rioted thousands of people, mass adulation, which is pretty cool. That's what we wanted. All right. And then backstage, Jim said, well, we've done that. Let's go to an island and start over. This guy wanted creativity to continue, whatever level. That's why he blew up at Come On, Buick, Light My Fire, a song he primarily did not write. So what does that mean? He cared about the whole catalog, Kyle. And that's why maybe we've lasted. I don't know. Well, probably it's the drumming. Oh, fuck. Oh, can I say that? Whoops.
Of course it's the drumming. Let me paint a little bit of a picture here for our viewers and listeners too, because here we are, you're celebrating the 60th anniversary. 60th anniversary of one of the greatest bands of all time. There have already been, some vinyl out there in the box sets. There's the book, At Night Divides the Day. There's these great live albums that are finally getting released, full of that incredible drumming. Right, that's true. But we're hearing these things, and we're hearing these songs. Like, of course, there are the hits that are the greatest songs of all time. We're also hearing songs like Away in India.
Oh,
We're hearing you all get very creative in moments that, if you're not a bootleg collector, you wouldn't have heard otherwise up to this point. What a great series this has been so far. compliments.
Well, when I was a kid, someone being 60 to me meant, wow, they're almost dead. I'm 80, and death is the new 80, so I got another 20. But I think at one point George Harrison said, if any more Beatles material comes out, it has to have the Surgeon General's warning. Well, I used to think, my God, they're outtakes because we didn't want them. Then I thought about how guilty I am about having six different takes of a Coltrane song that led up to the master. And it's interesting for me to see the ride. So I get it.
Yeah, and we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with John Densmore of The Doors. I talk about this a lot on this series. I'm a fan of the B-side.
Oh.
And the B-side, even the idea changed over the years, but a lot of the times, right, that was the song that wasn't quite good enough for the album, or it landed on a soundtrack or whatever it was. But there is so much magic in there for me. And we're talking about the outtakes too, because sometimes that's what the B-side would be for some bands. It was those outtakes, you know. But to hear the songs that weren't completely finished in the minds of the artist, that was really fun. I love that stuff.
I'm thinking of Who Scared You, which was a B-side. I don't think it made it on a record, but once again, Jim's lyrics. Who scared you? Why were you born in two times arms with all your charms? I mean, the guy fucking was a poet. I'm swearing again. Can you
Swear
believe
all you want.
it? Okay.
You can swear on top of the swearing if you want. That's
That's what attracted me so much. At first, when I met him in Ray's garage, he was so shy, he wouldn't even sing. And so I said to Ray, well, let's see, you know All Blues by Miles Davis? Let's jam on that. And then Ray gives me this piece of paper with break on, day destroys the night, night divides the day, tried to hide. Run to run, hide, break on through. I'm just like, wow, there's rhythm in those words. I'm down, you know. It was a turn on poetry and rock and roll.
to your point, and those songs, and there's so many, and they're so deep that, and again, I'll go back to these live albums that we're talking about, that I'm talking about, to hear some of these finally get sort of a spotlight that don't usually. Palace in the Canyon. I don't know anything about that song. It was only played twice ever, I think, for you guys. Like, do you remember anything about that one?
I do remember that all of them, we were a trio. And that's, Ray's left hand was the bass player. Normally, the bass player and the drummer are the rhythm section. Ray's left hand and me was the rhythm section. So most of it, I had to really, concentrate on the groove. The first job of the drummer is the pulse. You have to keep it consistent. If you started a ballad, it's slow. If you started a salsa, Light My Fire, it's faster. But once you start, you have to stay at the same pulse because the first drum we all heard was in the womb. It was our mother's heartbeat. And that's homeland security. You have to have that steady pulse, and then it makes you want to dance or cry or whatever the fuck. And so I had to work real hard at me and Ray's left hand. When he would take a solo with his right on the organ, he'd get excited, and the left hand would get excited, and I'd have to whoa, come on back, So that's what. All these outtakes, all this stuff just reminds me of the blessing of being a trio because it left space for me to fool around with Jim and have a conversation rhythmically while keeping the pulse and the extra work to fill in that trio,
Because usually a drummer locks in with the bassist, just a
Yeah.
bassist. And you've got to lock in with this guy over here that's doing two different things at once, and you're just locking in on one of those things.
And it's so wonderful that Ray could split his brain into two musicians. I mean,
Incredible.
he told me that he He made the bass line sort of simple, repetitive, like boogie woogie he heard in Chicago or whatever. Don't, 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 you know. And wow. Yeah, I really miss him. I think about that circle of fifths Bach-like intro of Light My Fire. Oh my God. And his solo in Riders on the Storm. Forget it. We're working on a playing for change videos.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing Riders, and Rami Jaffe Foo Fighter has done Ray's solo wonderfully. Don Was played bass. Me and Robbie, and oh, we're real excited to get Sierra Farrell
Yeah, no Sierra.
to do Girl, You Gotta Love Your Man. Take him by the hand. The world on you depends. Our life will never end. You gotta love your man.
That's great. I can't wait to hear that.
I can't either.
Yeah. Well, just hearing you talk about that, like honing in, the fact that you're talking about Ray splitting his brain into two different musicians, like you had to do that to a point as well, because when I listen to these live albums, obviously you're locked in with that, but you're also never missing those moments to theatrically, I would say, echo what Jim's talking about. What was it like to sit there and like how did you do that? How were you able to, what were you listening for?
I'm an accompanist. I'm not a soloist like Ginger Baker. I want to enhance whatever go solo, Jim's vocal, whatever. And so, as Thelonious Monk said in his 10 tips for musicians, the very first tip was, you must have a good sense of time, especially if you're not the drummer. Oh my God. Genius, genius. Because if you're a sax solo and you don't have the internal metronome, the mother's heartbeat, in your mind, who cares? Nobody cares. So I had that. I worked real hard on that. And that gave me the leeway to explore. I mean, I could even have silence, but I knew where the groove was. So I could have a space of nothing in the end, and then bam, hit a tom-tom where it was really quiet. I don't know why I did that, but later I realized that it enhanced the tension. But internally, I knew where the pocket was. That's the drummer's gig. And so that's how you can go off and explore the edge. Because internally, all of you together are feeling the pulse. And that's what, like I said, makes everybody dance or cry or whatever the hell.
Why do you think maybe magnetically you were so attracted to the ride? Because you became like you do a lot on those drums, but people have noticed your work on the ride.
Well, that's my I saw every great jazz drummer in the world. I sat next to Art Blakey and looked at him playing those press rolls, which I stuck in a couple Doors songs. And Riders on the Storm is, I saw Ed Thigpen, drummer with the Oscar Peterson. He had rivets in his cymbal. Oh, I'm taking that. And I have sizzle cymbal on Riders on the Storm. It gives a mood, So heavily influenced by all those jazz giants.
Did you like there were so many styles, of course, as you're talking from anything like Light My Fire to the Soft Machine and Touch Me and like
Soft Parade.
you saw oh
Soft
Separate. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Machine is a band
You're
somewhere.
right. My brain is going everywhere right now. But what I'm thinking of, like you make me real, like when you guys rocked, like Soul Kitchen, like those moments, do you find that you had a preferred style? Because again, when you all wanted to rock, it was there. Break On Through, one of the greatest rock songs of all time. But there were so many styles. Like, where was your favorite pocket to be in?
I think the band was a like a American gumbo. It was a melting pot. So there was my jazz and Ray's blues and classical, Robbie's flamenco. So it was just this delicious soup of stuff. So Break On Through is like a fast bossa nova. A Girl from Ipanema by Jobim was a Brazilian bossa nova was coming up. And then I just went, oh, take that and make it faster, because Break On Through was like, argh! And so I don't know, there's just a lot of styles in there. And it was a blessing that this quartet came together. So, you know, now it takes four doors to make a sedan. So Robbie and I are the coupes. Sorry.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with John Densmore of The Doors.
But you're both still creating. I mean, you're both still
definitely.
Working. I was reading about, do I got this right? Like there's an electroacoustic jazz album that you have going on. And did I read something about Chuck D?
Yeah. We got an alt hip hop album coming out eventually, not sure when. Yeah, I did a jazz thing. That's why I mentioned All Blues by Miles. Jack Holzman signed the Doors to Elektra Records. His son, Adam, idolized Ray. He was in the studio with this little kid, 8-year-old, I don't know what. And Adam became so proficient on keyboards, he was hired by Miles Davis during Miles' fusion period. So recently I saw Adam and said, hey, come over and jam, just me and him. We went crazy and we've got to make a record. And we did. But I said, you know, it's so hard to sell anything besides these jams. Let's do an instrumental version of a couple Doors songs and a couple Miles Davis songs. We did All Blues. We did it kind of electronic, because when you cover an iconic song, you can't be as good as the original. You got to go somewhere else. So I have recorded this song with the son of the guy who hired us on the first song that Ray and I ever played in his garage. And the guy played with the guy who wrote the song.
Incredible.
Those are some liner notes.
Yeah, right. That's full circle, if there ever was one. Yeah. That's but it also, I mean, like, the way these songs still stand. Like, the songs have always stood. You also had the mythology for decades. And not that that isn't still fun to look at, but I feel like the Doors made it to a point, and a lot of bands, I will say, you know, Zeppelin, whoever, made it to what now is the post-myth era.
Oh.
Like, because my son, like a lot of, I know you hear this story a lot. Like I have a son right now, he's 17. Like the Doors sound great. He has no concept of the Lizard King, you know, or any of that stuff.
This is so interesting, Kyle. I love your concept. Post, what'd you say?
Post-myth.
Post-myth. Yeah. There's this incredible Dionysian Adonis lead singer and great poet in one, you know, and dies in the bathtub, all this stuff. And these kids maybe are so young, they don't know that stuff. And the music is still getting them. So that's
when the song is great.
Kyle, I'm taking that post-myth.
Enjoy it. Now, I will say, it's not that we don't still see stuff, right? There was the ridiculous documentary that came out on Apple TV about the janitor up in the Northeast who someone thought was Jim, and they made a whole documentary of it.
Yeah, right.
Have you seen, have you, you're aware of it, I'm guessing.
I'm aware of it, but yeah. I'm not going there.
But like, that's, it's so interesting to be on your side of things.
Are you aware of my book, The Doors Unhinged?
I'm aware of your books. I'm sad to say that I haven't read it, but I'm aware of it. Yeah.
I have three self-centered memoirs, and the middle one is Unhinged. It's about the legal struggles. And this wonderful documentary filmmaker, John Sheinfeld, who did U.S. versus John Lennon and Harry Nielsen and tons of stuff. He's shopping unhinged as a doc. So that'll be interesting. That's a different way in. That's more about Jim's creative spirit being so fucking pure that he just couldn't do anything else. I know.
When McCartney and Lennon, really, actually, I think more Lennon, when they would talk about, we were just four guys, and the weight of mythology and everything was is kind of thrust upon you, like for you all, it's so few people in existence have ever felt what it is like on that other side. But when those that stuff like that documentary that I was referencing are out there, for you all to be, four guys, four very special, talented guys, but still, right? I mean, that's.
It's odd. In my first book, I write about how Ray and I were haggling over. I was trying to say, Ray, look, don't promote the band so much. The critics are supposed to say we're great, not you. And he'd say, damn it, John, it's better to have been in the Doors than not. And I'd say, well, of course, because of the Doors is permanently etched on my forehead. I get it. But let's not. I want to be able to go to the market and go, and I got divorced. I go to the bathroom, take it down a notch.
What was it like for you all to promote the, I'm going to use the post word again, post-Jim albums, which still have some great nuggets on them?
We did not want to give up the musical synchronicity that the three of us had. We had it. And we were actually rehearsing when we heard that Jim died. And so for a minute there, we were thinking of auditioning singers, but that was so stupid that, nobody can fill those leather pants. And so Ray and Robbie tried to sing. I mean, they did okay, but still, there's some good stuff there because we had played for years together and there's something about being in a band that if you hang in there through thick and thin, well, I think I said it's on Charlie Rose before he went down. I said, being in a band is polygamy without the sex. It's really, and that's what makes you more than the sum of your parts.
Well, there are some. I mean, I especially bring those albums up because when you celebrate 60 years of the Doors, I mean, that's part of the story. Those records. You guys toured those records, but those albums, to me, and I say this as coming from fans, it's like that's part of the complete story. Do you all see them that way? Do you celebrate them in the same way?
We were pleased that they finally got put out together on one package or whatever. Celebrate them, and by the end of the second one, full circle, we realized our focal point was gone. We missed him so much, and we all had solo ideas, and so it was time.
It was time.
The dream is over. What can I say? Now I'm John Densmore, not Lennon,
But what, I mean, again, just what an incredible work of art.
Hey, enough of this praise. I'm getting inflated. What else?
What else you got going on, man? We've talked about the upcoming albums. Y'all are staying busy. Are you going to perform any? I mean, are there going to be performances this year?
Oh my God, I don't know. Well, actually, I did. Robbie is doing a cool thing. He's playing the Whiskey a Go-Go where we started. Every week or every month, I don't know what it is, he's doing one entire Doors album each time. The whole thing, every cut. Really cool. So he did LA Woman a couple of weeks ago. And I went down there and I wanted to play Riders. I don't have the chops to play Break On Through anymore. It's 16th notes, really hard. You invent a beat and then you can't play it. Great. So,
Like vocalists who the key's too high anymore for them.
yeah. the cut before Riders, since he did everything in exactly programmed, was the Wasp, Texas Radio, and the Big Beat. Oh my God. So I sat in on those two, and I said to the audience, okay, I have never played this song live, all right? So wish me luck. And it's maybe the most difficult Doors song rhythmically that we ever did, because I had this idea, instead of just playing the groove, da 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 bum 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 ba da 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 da, I played the melody, da 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 da, ba ba ba, da 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 da, every fucking note. And so I did that live, and it went pretty good. And then my thumb went out for Riders on the Storm, my 80-year-old thumb, but it's slow and not too bad, and so I snuck by. And that what is it, CBS Morning News, what's his name, Anthony Mason, they filmed it, me sitting in. We gave him a little heads up, and they went, oh, that'll be out, I don't know, in a few weeks, a little clip of 5 minutes, whatever it is.
That's
That
something.
was playing together for a second there,
Yeah, yeah. And those, like, hearing you talk about how you did Wasp, and some of those songs, we mentioned Soft Parade. Let me get the title right this time. Even When the Music's Over, those epic songs, like. Some songs I imagine were written off of jams, but there are some songs like that. I'm like, how did you all tend to do those type of songs? Because they're movements. There's so many movements.
They're like operas. They develop over time. We get a lick, we start jamming on it. Oh, well, let's just sort of do a drone, and then Jim can improvise some poems. That's what's going on, and the music's over. And we're playing the groove, dum, 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 and Jim starts, what have they done to the earth? What have they done to our fair sister? Stuck her with knives in the side of the dawn, tied her with fences, dragged her down. Okay, I'm going to mess around with that. I'll stop the beat. Ray plays it on the bass, and I kind of talk with Jim, and then I go back later. This just happens over time, and I loved playing that song live.
13 and a half minutes of it usually.
Yeah, sometimes we'd open the show with that thing, and
Wow.
they would everybody'd be bludgeoned, and we'd have to do something lighter. And we play Light My Fire a lot of times at the end, and everybody would be dancing. Then we'd do the end as an encore, and people would crawl out of the auditorium and not dissipate their energy in applause. Maybe take it home and chew on it. Maybe that's a bigger compliment, I don't know.
For that, for the grand stories of rock and roll, for that to be the last song that you all play with Jim, like that it ends with the end.
Yeah. Never thought of that. Yeah, right.
I mean,
Man.
poetic, darkly poetic, and I don't mean to say that in any kind of voyeuristic way, but.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. That's beautiful. Like goodbye to Jim. This is the end, beautiful friend. Wow. Nice. Hey, Kyle.
Well, I've served my purpose here. I can go to bed
Yeah. You
Yeah.
know, the end started out as a love song. Goodbye to, and then the whole middle section evolved over time. That's beautiful. A love song to Jim. I like it.
Well, the fact that we get to continue to hear these moments that you all had together. I mean, In Concert is top three favorite live albums of all time that you all did. For so many reasons. I mean, Who Do You Love and the medley in that and Build Me a Woman and all the like. I mean, that's where Matthew McConaughey took his All Right, All Right, All Right songs from that album. And
That's right. Hey, you do your homework, Kyle. Damn.
yeah, I've loved you guys for so long, the music that you all made, and I so appreciate every bit of it. Man, happy 60th anniversary.
Well,
Seriously.
thank you. And this has been really good. Hopefully, maybe in the future, we'll do this again.
Please, the door is always open, pun intended.
I mean, you are so fucking knowledgeable. It's stimulating me. Post myth and the end is a love song to Jim. I love it.
John, it's so great to meet you. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
As they say in England, cheers, mate.
My thanks to John Densmore, 60 years of The Doors. There are vinyl reissues, live albums, there's a book, Night Divides the Day, all available now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. You can grab us Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. where I do a show Monday through Friday starting 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 70s, 80s, 90s, the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Otis Redding, Ann Peebles, Samantha Fish, Iggy Pop, The Breeders, Jefferson Airplane, Radiohead, Alabama Shakes, Tragically Hip, Buffalo Tom, Guster, Anders Osborne, The Black Keys, Neil Francis, The Proclaimers, Stereolab, and my interview with Ian Astbury of The Cults. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Can you hear that grinding outside? So you aren't hearing the tree cutting outside?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.